Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this week is Jack Perry. He is from the Southington Town Council, but we're here to talk about how he is announced himself as a Democratic candidate for Connecticut's 1st Congressional District. He is one of three Democrats who's announced they're looking to unseat Congressman John Larson, who has been in the district. He's held that seat since 1999. And the other two candidates running, former Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin and on the Hartford School Board, also Ruth Fortune. We have one Republican who has announced their candidacy, Dr. Amy Fogelstrom-Chai. But our conversation this week is focused with Jack Perry. Last week we had a conversation with Luke Bronin. Jack, welcome to the show. Good to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
This is shaping up very quickly and getting very interesting in the first district. It's been a long time, really, since we've had any kind of hubbub like this in Connecticut's first congressional district. My first question for you, Jack, is why?
So in the first, district, I've been very involved. I've given back into our local community. I started a garbage company when I was a senior year of high school in 2008. And I built that up to over 50 employees, 37 trucks. And last year, I got acquired by another company, and I'm still overseeing all the operations that I did as an owner. But I'm still heavily involved locally, giving back, volunteering, currently serve on the Southington Town Council. And we're at a point that I hear on a daily basis, from the working and middle class, employees over the years, that the system is broke. There's an imbalance. People feel that, it's harder to do anything now than ever. If I had to start my business that I started in 08 during the beginning of a recession, if I said, let's start it again, I wouldn't be able to start what I was able to start in 08. And that wasn't an easy time. So it just shows that it's actually harder now than ever. And everybody should be able to, live the American dream, start a small business, build jobs, help out in the community. And that is something that I don't see as achievable anymore, or not as achievable. The economic, system is rigged against the working and middle class, and it shouldn't be that way. And people talk about, businesses paying their fair shares, which I agree with, they need to, but we have to differentiate between small business, which is Main Street local business, and the big corporations. And it's rigged right now that, it's nearly impossible to get ahead. People's are facing, all the cost increases, the affordability. The other day, there's an article that you need to make $75,000 to afford an apartment. $75,000, you should be able to afford, a house. It shouldn't be that way.
It's interesting how you mentioned your business background, and you're talking about the economy at the moment as it stands, not just in Connecticut, but really in the United States. I want to draw on your experiences as a business owner, because there's an interesting side story that you had actually launched your garbage company just before the Great Recession. Isn't that right?
That is correct. And I remember having conversations with people in the industry or other businesses, and they said in the 70s and 80s, you owned a business, you were able to make it and, create jobs and live comfortably. It took me many years before I was able to get my first paycheck. I started in 2008, and because of the recession, I was still living home and I was investing everything back into my business. But the first year I took a check was in 2013, and it was for about $13,000. But I was able to do it. I was hungry. I was wanting to do it. And I think everybody should have that opportunity. I don't think it should be as difficult as it was in 08. But today, I could tell you that I couldn't do what I did in 08 today And, you know, you're looking at 17 years later.
President Trump has said that his tariffs that he's imposed worldwide and trying to reshape global trade and the global economy, that America will be helped in the long term by that. The criticism has been the opposite, that it will actually hurt America in the long term as far as the economy is concerned. So if you could draw back on your 2008-ish era experiences as a business owner and trying to make it, trying to survive, not getting your paycheck for quite some time after having launched your business, how would you bring that experience to the reality that perhaps the tariffs could hurt the economy if that happens a year out or 2 years out or however long it might take?
Businesses are taking those tariffs and they're passing them along. They're not absorbing them. They can't absorb them. So it's another tax on the working and middle class. And that just shows the system is rigged. And, you know, the ultra wealthy and the corporations are the ones that should be being held more accountable in doing a tax reform to help make things more fair and not rigged against the working and middle class. And you don't hear anybody talking about that. You know, to be able to just do a tariff sounds great. We're going to get a tax revenue, but we all know that that's going to get passed on to somebody else that's already struggling. It's not sustainable. We need to get more creative. I didn't do my first price increase in my business for 10 years. So my first price increase I did was in 2018. I was able to grow my business by leveraging my buying power, my vendors. I increased benefits to my employees. We expanded, you know, better equipment. I was able to do all those things by being creative. Then 2018 hit and eventually, you know, dumping fees were increasing and I couldn't get creative to do that. So I had to do an increase, and that is what a tariff is. And my first increase on a residential service after 10 years of being in business went up $1 a month. And the feedback I got was people couldn't afford that, or they were upset that I went up on my pricing. But it was at a point that I couldn't do anything different. And the last 3 years of being in business, or, you know, since 2020, you know, COVID year, we were doing price increases every few months because of the cost of everything going up. And those were all passed on to the consumers. So that's just like the tariffs. It's going to get passed on to the end users. And it's another tax. We need to get creative and look at, you know, what we have, our tools in our chest, and do reform, because that's not happening, and it's coming to the working and middle class, and that's what the tariffs are. The ultra-wealthy top 1%ers are the ones benefiting from this, where they should be helping offset this in some capacity with reforms.
Fiscally conservative, is that how you would describe yourself?
I think everybody's fiscally conservative. I don't think anybody's out there burning money. I strongly believe that nobody in their personal finances are not trying to be conservative, stretch the dollars. I find myself as trying to help people advance and reach their goals. So yes, we have to try to stretch those dollars, but, you know, I'm liberal on a lot of, you know, taking care of individuals. Being a business owner, I was able to watch my employees reach milestones. Or they got married, first new car, getting their first home, you know, starting a family, and increasing bennies in tools for them to be successful and reach retirement. Right now, those are not things that are easily obtainable. The first-time home buyer average age is 38 years old. You pull out a 30-year note, you're 68 years old by the time you pay that off, which you can't retire until you're debt-free. So how is that going to happen? I bought my first home in 2015, so my mortgage should be, you know, paid off by the time that I'm 55, which gives me some years to bank money and towards retirement, which I don't see that happening now. If the average age is 38, I'm 35 years old, and it shouldn't be that way. So yes, I'm the type that I look at things. I try not being wasteful, but I look at it as also investments that you're doing things to help people reach those goals. And we need to be really focusing on that. The working and middle class continue to get left behind, and there's benefits for the ultra wealthy, which that should not be that way.
Let's talk about the race itself, and then we'll get back to some issues as we're in the middle of our conversation now. Are you surprised that Congressman Larson is facing as much challenges, as many challenges as he is in 2025? The election is next year, 2026. Does it surprise you that we've heard from former Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin that he's running, Hartford School Board Member Ruth Fortune that she's running, Republican Dr. Amy Fogles from Chi, and also word that a fourth Democrat might be running very soon to compete for this seat against you and the other two? Does it surprise you that all of a sudden there's this much interest in the first district?
It doesn't surprise me. The Democratic Party has failed the working and middle class, and I've seen that. People have always said, well, you're a business owner. How can you be a Democrat? I believe in helping others and giving back and making things better for everyone. And watching my employees, you know, was great because they're like extended family members. So I'm not surprised. I've heard from people. That's how I jumped in the race. Yes, I'm politically involved locally on our town council where we decide which roads get paved and budgeting and all local issues that are very important to everybody locally. But there's an appetite for change in the Democratic Party. There's a generational change that's coming. And I think that we need to embrace that. And I was asked to run by several people. I'm not the type to just go do something for Jack. It's not who I am. Anybody that knows me, I have a big heart and I try to help out any way that I can. So I was asked, you know, back in December of last year, you know, to look at, you know, running for this. And I said, yes, I agree with you, but going up against the political establishment is hard. But what we've seen since January is the Democrats are upset with the party and the structure, and it's failed the working and middle class. So there is reform and change. I can also say that I'm talking to people and they do not want to see another politician in D.C. That is what is wrong with the system. Is you climb a political ladder, you build a base, you build donors, special interests, lobbyists. They start giving you money over the course of years. So now when you want to run for something bigger and higher, you send out an email and raise a few hundred thousand dollars. You look at Congress 50, 60 years ago. You had industry leaders, community leaders, business leaders, farmers, activists. Those were the ones that ran for Congress. It's not what it is today. Congress or, you know, politicians is a word that's looked at or as a negative, not a positive. It's not used in a positive way. And I tell everybody, don't ever refer to me as a politician. Even though I'm politically involved, I look at myself as a volunteer and giving back and using my skill sets to help others. So right now, what I'm hearing is people do not want another politician. They want somebody that understands the struggles of the working and middle class. So I got creative and said, well, I donate, I give back, I sponsor things all the time. So this is another way of me putting my money, you know, in good use. And I threw $500,000 of my own money into this race so that it shows it's a viable race. Everybody knows it's a few million dollars. And people will invest in something they see a future in or if it's viable. And this gives the working class and the middle class a vehicle to get to that point. So I'm not starting off with $0. It seeded the campaign. It's not enough to bring it to the finish line, but we're in the right direction by having $500,000 and, you know, continuing to raise to make it a viable campaign. And that's what I'm doing. And it seems like there's a lot of interest and people are happy that it's not another typical politician that is running for office. I could drive a garbage truck. I could take apart a diesel engine, put it back together. I'm heavily involved, you know, with my hands and working and getting things done. I don't think my opponents can say that they can do the same things. And that is where America 50, 60 years ago used to be able, yes, times have changed and, you know, our amenities have changed over the years and vacations. But 50, 60 years ago, we had, it was one income households. We did not need two incomes and second jobs to get by. Having another child wasn't another mortgage payment. You know, with childcare, it's expensive. And if we're not going to try to fix this, the next generation or my generation and generations to come, it's going to be very bad and difficult. So that's what I'm hearing, is that we don't need another politician. We need somebody that understands the struggles of the working and middle class, that are in the trenches with them and sees the hurdles and the challenges to address those, and not a personal political agenda.
Jack Perry from the Southington Town Council, one of the Democrats hoping to beat out Congressman John Larson in Connecticut's first district. I'm Morgan Cunningham, and this is Face Connecticut. What's the next step here in your strategy in the run-up to the Democratic naming convention?
So you mentioned it, name recognition and money. That's what it takes, and you need money to get name recognition, or you need to be politically involved. My approach is grassroots. I think that is a core that is very crucial on anything, is grassroots, because then you're not bought or owe anything to anyone. Everybody then has a equal and a say of, you know, what the direction is. So that's what I'm going to continue to do. I've worked very hard over the years to get where I am. And anybody that knows me knows that when I do something and my name's attached to it, I'm in it 100%. And that's why I use my own money to show that I'm serious and that I'm in this. And I'm going to continue to meet people in the district, go around. What I'm hearing is our current congressman hasn't been going around. Now he wants to go.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Around, because he needs the delegates and the support to get on the ballot and to win the primary to then go to the general election. We shouldn't have to wait until there's a, you know, competition to start doing the right thing. And we should also not have people in this race that are seeing a political edge for their personal gains and their political careers. I'm successful with building a business. I have things going on here. This would take me away from a lot of things that I do, but this is another way of me giving back. So my goal is to continue to talk to people, you know, residents in the district, business owners in the district, hear all the struggles and concerns, and show them that I'm there. I'm going to work for them now. I'll work for them after. And I'm not going to go away and forget about them and the issues that we're facing, because that's where, you know, we are now, is things have kind of, you know, been not paid attention to. I've been on the council, this is my fourth year in Southington, been, you know, politically involved, going to meetings and all that for many years. And I think it's important. I started getting involved probably when I was 25, because I understood that, you know, political influence gets things done, and knowing what's going on, then you know who to vote for that's going to get the job done, or you fire them if they're not getting the job done. So I can tell you that in my years of being heavily involved and even being on the council, our congressman has not come to Southington. I have not met him. And that's a problem. It breaks down to be out of touch. And people have mentioned, you know, his age. It's like Joe Biden. Joe Biden was good until he wasn't. And we don't need that. We need young energy, ideas, and bringing those to light to address the problems. I'm the youngest person currently in this race, and it's not an easy race, but I know I have the skill sets. I have a track record of what I built from the ground up, and I plan on getting my message out there, talking to people about my personal struggles over the years and being able to work hard to get to where I am. But I can tell you right now, like I said earlier, if you put me back in 2008 in today's economic standards or economic environment, I couldn't do what I did, and it shouldn't be that way. And we need to fix that.
Two particular issues that Congressman Larson has made a big issue for himself and for his district. Number one is his baby, the Social Security bill that he's been pushing in Congress, which many people have been critical of, that he's been working on that for years and years, and it hasn't really gone anywhere. He's still fighting for it, and that's his biggest issue of the day. And yet he's recognized very well for his fight on Social Security. So where do you stand on Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, those kinds of programs?
Those are programs that people paid into, taxpayers have paid into. They need to get those. I will continue to fight for those. They're important, but there's other things that are also affecting the current generation and the next generation. So, yes, that is a very important thing, but you said it. He's been working on it for how long? The House was controlled at one point in time by the Dems, Senate, and presidency. If he couldn't get it done then, I don't know. It seems like a lip service at this point in time.
The other issue that's kind of unique to the First District involves Pratt & Whitney, whether it's labor rights, we saw that they had a big strike earlier this year, or also defense contracts. So how would you get in and navigate the issues that surround Pratt & Whitney in the First District?
So Pratt & Whitney actually used to have a location here in Southington, and they closed that up. Queen Street, many people know Queen Street. Queen Street was pretty much built because we had Pratt & Whitney here. There was over 3,000 employees when Pratt & Whitney was in Southington, and when they pulled out, it was detrimental to our community. We lost a serious amount of tax revenue back in the 90s, and it was a domino effect of just losing a big job creator in our community, taxpayer in our community. But the mom and pops, the Main Street businesses all suffered as well because they lost 3,000 patrons that were buying gas, lunch, grocery shopping in the stores, grabbing dinner. We were a victim of Pratt & Whitney leaving Southington. I saw what has done to Southington, and you got to think that's about 30 years ago, and Southington still has incentives to bring business back into that region of town because it hurt us. So there's 30 years in the making, and we're still struggling, you know, to fill what Pratt & Whitney was. Earlier this year, Pratt & Whitney did go on strike. I went down to Middletown. I went to the strike line. I spoke to the workers that were there, and it was awesome to see them, you know, standing united. They were fighting for their jobs, a fair wage, which is awesome. And I also brought my perspective as a Southington victim, we'll say, from Pratt & Whitney, of what happened. So I explained to them that, you know, understand that, yes, you're fighting for yourself, but you're also fighting for your community and the small mom pop shops and, you know, your patrons of all them. And I brought a whole nother perspective that they're not just fighting for themselves, they're fighting for everyone. So I think it's important. I showed up to share my experiences. Yes, I'm 35, so when they left Southington, I was very young, but I've seen it. I've seen what it has been after Pratt has left, and we need to continue to fight, you know, to keep those good jobs here, and give the employees, you know, the proper wages, benefits, and address their concerns. Because if they leave Connecticut, it's a huge tax loss and it hurts the entire economy, and people will then relocate, houses will end up having to go for sale or people move. It's a domino effect. So I will say that, you know, I will continue that same approach of, you know, advocating for the unions, and I'm pro-labor.
Jack, we're just about out of time here, so we'll have to continue the conversation over the course of the next year or so. It's going to become a very interesting race, I believe, in the First District. Any final thoughts, anything that you want to mention that maybe we didn't get to?
Everything is, you know, changing drastically. You know, there's housing issues, there's labor issues, health care, taxes, immigration, foreign policy, the Israeli-Palestine conflict. So there's going to be a lot more opportunity, I think, to talk about all those and get into the weeds. So anything I could do to you know, reach back out and do another interview and talk about that, I would greatly appreciate. But I look forward to continuing this path and meeting everybody in the district and talking to them and hearing out their concerns and being a voice that they have not had in a while.
Jack, thank you for coming on Face Connecticut and for introducing yourself to our audience.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Lemonade! Fresh squeezed lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.